Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
I wouldn't say the brand's been tarnished. I mean, again, I think that's a lot of discussion we're going to be having over the next weeks and months is about our identity, you know. And again, I want to be clear, like our identity really boils down to the players on the field and the way that they play and the type of players they are and how they handle themselves not only on the field but in the community. So I think that's going to be a big part of discussion is like what really is important to us as an organization and what are we going to hang our hat on at the end of the day.
Oh, baby, that was yesterday at 10 a.m. at the introductory press conference for Buster Posey. Your new baseball or new president of baseball operations is sat on the dais with Bob Melvin, the manager, Greg Johnson, one of the owners. And that's what Posey said. Our identity. What will our identity be? Now, he didn't say a lot yesterday. He didn't say a lot. And that spoke volumes. I have questions about the way they just kind of skated by Farhan Zaidi. To me, when I was listening, I wanted some more questions to Greg Johnson about Farhan Zaidi, but Posey takes the dais in on his first day on the job, I guess second day on the job, as he said. It was ho-hum, which I would think from Buster Posey, because he's never really said a lot, but just seeing him up there, you could feel the vibe, you could feel the breath of fresh air from everybody in a room, from Giants fans all over the city, from Giants fans all over the world. You have a new face. It's the president of baseball operations, Mr. Giant, currently Buster Posey. What you think, Shasky?
So many things. It was very interesting how quickly they wanted to scrub and distance themselves from anything Farhan Zaidi related. It just felt like, hey, we don't want to talk about that, and nobody wanted to ask any questions about it. And I'm not saying that pick at the carcass, but I want to know, did we learn anything? Did we learn anything throughout the process? What was it that you didn't like? You know, Buster kept saying, they used an analogy of like, I asked for the ball. You know, that's kind of what Greg Johnson was saying, is that Buster asked for the ball. And I guess I wanted to know from Buster or from Greg, what was it that made you ask for the ball? What were you seeing that you didn't like?
Right.
Because he kept saying, like, my baseball, and I agree with him, my baseball philosophies are very simple. Yep. Catch the ball, meaning play good defense, and throw strikes, as in have good pitching. And I completely agree. I mean, that's tried and true. But what were those things? Like, what was it? And I'm sure platooning and openers and all the things that kind of frustrated the hell out of all of us Giants fans, it was part of it as well. But I felt like it was deeper than that. And the fact that they were so quick, and I would too, to pivot and not bring up the past, I was like, well, hold on a second. I know it's a day for Buster Posey, and I understand that. But can we also reflect on what we just went through? And I just felt like we're just moving on.
It goes to my point that the Giants are covered a bit differently than the 49ers and the Golden State Warriors, because remember when Jim Harbaugh got released by the 49ers, Jet York got peppered over and over and over about why they moved on from him. You know, when Bob Myers left, he set up, they had a press conference to announce that he was leaving. And he got peppered with questions on why he was leaving, with Joe Lacob, the owner of the Golden State Warriors, sitting right next to him. And we had questions on why Bob was moving on. We had plenty of questions. So that goes to my point that the Giants are covered a bit differently, and I can't put my finger on why they're covered a bit differently. I just don't know. But Larry Bear was in the building. And to my point, with 6 years, when you have a guy for 6 years running a show, and you say a lot about this guy, whether he's the smartest guy in the room or whether or not you're going to bring him here, keep him here long term, or whether or not you like what he did and he's going to be here for a while. And we know Greg Johnson was on a podcast with TK in the middle of the season. Middle of the season when they came off that road trip from New York and Pittsburgh and had a good run. The fact that, what was there, like one or two questions about Farhad Zaidi? Now, when it comes to Buster Posey, he may get some one-on-ones, and you may find out a little more about his philosophy and what he saw last season with the baseball team, but it's not Buster's nature to basically crush anybody.
No.
That's not in his DNA. But on the flip side with Farhad, this is where Greg Johnson, I was a little disappointed, and we're going to talk to the Shea Hay kid today at 8:30, John Shea, because he pressed that board, that dais, about Bob Melvin. And that was alarming right there. What I got out of Bob Melvin there, it's like, hey, we're not doing anything contractually yet. We're taking it day by day, which means you got to do your job, Bob, or we'll be searching for somebody else. But the fact they skated so quickly off of Farhad Zaidi and didn't get pressed by that, and there were some big boys in that media room, some big boys, our Bay Area big boys, and girls. It was a bit disappointing, I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, on one level, I understand, because like Buster's he's a charming guy, and a lot of people that were in that room have covered him a long time. So you want to like not endear yourself, but hey, congratulations. This is maybe the first time I've been face-to-face with you in 4 or 5 years, and I used to see you every day. Like, I do understand on some level that, but I don't know. It felt very different. I would agree with that.
Not only that, though, but Posey, you know, we can't let him skate by because he also said things about the city. Said, you know, wives or, well, I don't remember the exact quote, but he basically said, you know, yeah, there is some concern about staying in the city and going shopping or whatnot. And how would that impact free agency? Basically doubling down on what Farhad Zaidi said. I would have liked to have a question about that. Posey, what's your philosophy there? It was a little too kumbaya for me, which, look, I'll speak for myself yesterday. I was a little kumbaya yesterday. I was shooting down and, you know, taking shots at people that shouldn't even be on my radar. But I was feeling myself a little bit, feeling myself that Farhad was God and now we got a face. But also on the flip side, there was a lot of questions that I wanted asked. And look, and people say, well, you could have gone down there about that. I get off at 10 o'clock in the morning. I can't make the presser. But there were some questions that were not asked that disappointed me yesterday, and I want to ask Shea about that. I really do.
Yeah, you know, you're never going to, like, be wowed by Buster at a podium.
No,
like,
doubt.
In terms of charisma and all that stuff.
No,
like,
doubt.
That's not necessarily who he is. But I don't think that makes you a good or bad president of baseball ops. You know, personality is just, you know, it is what it is. Now, do you treat people well? Do people like you? Can you get deals done? Are you able to bring two sides together that are far apart? You know, Brian Cashman can be very abrasive, very abrasive. I know that Brian Sabian in this market was very abrasive at times, but they also understand how to close deals and they understand how to surround themselves with really strong people. I think the one thing that did stick out to me in the positive yesterday was, clearly, like John Lynch, and you're going to see a lot of comparisons, he admitted to not knowing everything, and he would have to surround himself with very strong people who have experience. And to me, that speaks of self-awareness, which is one of the greatest traits you can have in any walk of life, is just being aware of what your strengths and your weaknesses are. And so it sounds like, it feels like, they're going to bring in someone at the GM spot who has scouting experience, which I like. It also feels like, boy, he referenced Brian Sabian a lot.
Could be coming back.
I think in some sort of advisory role, they are going to reach out to him if they haven't already. It feels like to me they're going to try to not bring the band back together. That's not it. I think they're gonna go to well-respected, long-time doing this type of people, bring them in. They'll probably bring in a bunch of new people. Sounds like Pete Pichula, who is the current GM, is being
he's gone.
Reassigned. I don't know what
different duty.
Yeah, I don't
know. They got through that quick. Yeah, he won't be returning as a GM of the Giants. That was done. Quick.
Did anyone even talk to Pete Pichula?
I don't even know. Pete Patilla, right?
Or is it? Am I saying it wrong?
He wasn't even there.
Yeah, but what's his name? Love it.
Pete Pichula?
Okay.
He
was with the Astros, and I saw him on the field a couple times, like with Bryce Eldridge. He you know, stood there and signed a jersey and, you know, gave him this jersey when he got
Pichula.
Drafted.
Pichula.
Pete Pichula.
Well,
thank you,
anyway,
Spadoni.
Greg Johnson, though, it did feel like you know, they had Bob Melvin out there. I didn't think it was the time to have Bob Melvin out there. I understand why he's at the table, but to me, it's not necessarily about Bob Melvin. It's about the owner and the new president of baseball ops. You know, who knows? Posey might have 2-3. You know, Melvin might be his guy for the next decade, but it could also be something totally different. And I understand the questions that were very relevant about Bob Melvin's job status, contract status, all that, but I didn't really need to hear from him yesterday.
Yeah, it was very, you know, John Shea, he pressed Posey and Greg Johnson on, you know, there were some inaccuracies with the contract details. And John Shea asked Greg Johnson, are you going to be more transparent moving forward when it comes to contract details? And you know, to Greg's credit, he goes, you know, we don't have to be transparent about the details of contracts, but we did sign Buster Posey to a 3-year deal. Now I shifted over to Bob Melvin because we all assumed that Farhan and Bob Melvin were signed through 2026, and it wasn't the case. Shea cracked the code, said, well, there's some opt-outs here, and that's where the leaks kind of started with everything like that. So I don't know about Bob Melvin long-term. I don't, you know, Buster, they said all the right things yesterday. But an extension, I think Bob Melvin has to win next year. And I think if Bob Melvin, and just my read on it, and I have no clue, no sources, whatever, on this situation. But it feels like the Giants have to make the playoffs next season in order for Bob Melvin to get that lucrative contract extension.
So I don't know about that. I feel like one thing that is fair to say, it feels like they're giving him a complete pass for whatever happened this year. He's not going to be judged on what the season that just concluded. I don't think he's going to be judged one way or the other. I do believe next year he will be judged. I don't know if playoffs necessarily is the standard.
It may not be playoffs. It may be form. It may be how the team looks.
There you go.
You know, are they clicking? Are they playing clean, crisp baseball, as Buster Posey said yesterday?
Were you able, forget the ownership group, were you able to make a clear read on Bob Melvin this year?
I wasn't. But, as we watched the Padres win yesterday down at Petco Park, and who's the guy we had on from the podcast, man? He was really, really good from down there in San Diego.
Craig Elston.
And I asked him a question. I said, what happened with Bob Melvin and A.J. Preller? Why does San Diego keep the GM and allow a team within the division to take their manager? The question never really got answered. But we all knew about the disconnect. Oh, A.J. Preller, Bob Melvin don't get along. Bob Melvin doesn't get along. He's coming to the Giants, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm watching San Diego go crazy down at Petco Park yesterday, beating the Braves. Tatis Jr. hits a home run. You know, they shut out the Braves. They feel good. A lot of people are picking them over the Dodgers. They're rolling. And they've been a lot of fun this year. And I heard the manager, the skipper, who was a Schilt for the Padres, he's credited the GM. I heard him after one game, he goes, that's an A.J. Preller win. It was like, what? So I don't really know what happened with Bob and A.J. Preller. And I always had that question, like, what happened with Bo Mel? And I'm not going to lie to you. I was a bit underwhelmed with Bo Mel this season.
Well, I do feel like, just this is my feel, I feel like he was throwing Farhan under the bus at any opportunity he could, especially down the stretch.
I don't know if I like that.
No, I didn't like it either. But I kind of hypothesized at the beginning of the year, you know, when you lose a GM battle and you're the one that has to go from a fully loaded roster, you learn from that war and you go, well, I'm not going to let that happen to me a second time.
Right.
And I had hypothesized all year that Bob's going to angle to get Farhan as the fall guy here because, like, any normal person would do that in a work setting after they've been railroaded for the prior failures at a different stop. So, I don't know.
Well, think about this,
I think
though.
It was a very flawed roster, but here's what I would say, B. He didn't get the best out of Camilo Duvall. He didn't get the best out of Wilmer Flores, Tyro Estrada. There's a lot of guys that underperformed for a variety of reasons. And that's why I believe they're giving him a quote-unquote pass for this last year. Hey, you inherited kind of a weird roster that had a lot of tension, and we're going to start judging you moving forward. I was as unimpressed as you were, though, if I'm being candid.
Honestly, you think about the A's tenure and how A's fans felt about Bo Mel and managing the bullpen, whether or not he had control of that. The opener that they had at Yankee Stadium with Liam Hendricks. lose to Tampa Bay at home in a wild card game. You give up a leadoff home run right away, right off the rip. You don't start Mike Fiers at Yankee Stadium. A lot going on with the A's. So he goes to San Diego. They do make an NLCS to his credit. But I remember in that NLCS, I think it was game four, pivotal game, and Bryce Harper's about to come up, and Sean Manaea can't get anybody out that season. He couldn't get anybody out.
I'm out.
And he goes to Sean Manaea in that game, and I think he just, Bryce Harper, I think, crushed one. Crushed one. You remember that, Spinotti? Crushed one. I'm thinking, why would Bo Mel go to Sean Manaea in that situation when he couldn't get anybody out all season long? So then you look at the Padres underachieving last season, and everybody said, well, the chemistry with the clubhouse. So maybe that was something with Soto, Tatis, and Machado. But you're the manager. You've got all this talent. You've been in baseball for a long, long time. There's no way you should be underachieving with that roster. And they did. And everybody said, well, the GM's an idiot. They got to get rid of the GM. Well, the GM stayed, and they're in the playoffs right now. Again. Rolling. One of the best teams in baseball. Rolling. And Bo Mel's here, and we watched the roster, and we saw how things developed and played out here. So I don't know about Bo Mel.
So, like, I'm going to go off of what I saw this year. Forget San for a minute. Forget San Diego. I think it's a fair point because it's part of your resume. I thought he had a subpar feel for the bullpen for about 3 months, 4 months. The lefty Rogers wasn't used for weeks on end. He was making like $11 million a year, and they kept going to Miller as their high-leverage lefty, and he was very young, and I thought he was spotty at times, though I'm sure the numbers are going to bear out that he was good. Yep. I thought he was spotty at times. Camilo Duvall, something happened.
Yeah,
I would put up more of it on Camilo, but the way Camilo was used, I think, also got into his head. And I think that Bob Mel has to understand how people are motivated and how to connect with them. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the job, right? Yep. And then I look at some of their other guys, like Wilmer clearly got iced out, which is fine. Like I didn't think Wilmer should have been on this team, but he was iced out. And I could feel it from the Estradas and guys like that. Like I think it had an effect on those guys. Now, here's the good. Elliot Ramos clearly had a monster year, and clearly Bob Melvin empowered that man to play. Now, it was because of injuries, but he kept putting him in the middle of that lineup, whether that's Farhan, you know, Posey's influence, Bob Melvin's influence. I think he gets credit for that. And then I think the Tyler Fitzgerald immersion is another thing that, like, I think he gets a lot of credit for. He stuck with Tyler Fitzgerald, and the guy's bat was outstanding. I don't believe him to be a shortstop long term, but I thought he did a really good job with a couple of guys. Pat Bailey? I don't know. Well, I thought the handling of Pat Bailey, they didn't have many options, but I think that the guy needed to sit for a week or two. I would have put him on the IL.
Matt Chapman swears by him, and that's fine. And Matt Chapman had a very good season, very good year. So we're going to play some sound from the Buster Posey introductory press conference next segment here because there's a lot to be said. Love me and ask some questions. Pardon me. We'll get to that with Greg Johnson because he caught up with Greg Johnson, our very own Sam Lubman. He caught up with Greg Johnson one-on-one. And, of course, Greg doesn't really say a lot. And that, you know, he's no Joe Lacob. He's no Jay York. But you know what, man? It's all good. We'll see about Bo Mel. The roster does have to get better. It does have to get better. But was there any, like, honestly, when you look at the way the last two seasons played out for the Giants, what was the difference with the on-field product between Gabe Kapler and Bob Melvin managing?
I thought there were less situational pinch-hit moments early in games where they would yank a guy. I mean, I'm going deep into it, but also I thought you had more everyday players. Like Ramos being an everyday player, I think kind of stymied their let's go to Austin Slater in this moment moves.
You know what I think it was?
What?
It was just a respect thing. I don't know if it translated into more wins.
What do you mean?
But these players just seem to respect Bo Mel a lot more than Gabe Kapler.
I think that's fair.
The respect for Bob Melvin is there.
Would you also grant me this? Whoever you think the greatest manager in baseball history is, John McGraw, Bruce Bochy, Joe Torre, La Russa, like pick who you want, okay? I don't know if any of those guys was getting this team to the playoffs.
Probably not. You need talent. And Buster Posey mentioned that yesterday. He said it's about the player. Our identity is about the players on the field.
I want to get into that because I think it's a stark contrast to the prior regime.
All right, more coming up here. Buster Posey introductory press conference. We will get to some sound from Media Day about to go to St. Warriors. I know Warrior fans are jacked up. Steve Kerr is mentioning that the team is going to shoot a lot of threes. He wants Andrew Wiggins shooting 7 threes a game. He wants Pods, D'Anthony Melton. He wants these guys to get them up. Moses Moody. Jack them threes up, baby.
Let's buy stock in Andrew Wiggins.
I am buying stock in Wiggins. I said it here first. All right, what's coming up in the game? Bucks were monitoring Davante Adams. The latest, he wants out ASAP of the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Cowboys and Jets have inquired about Davante Adams, so he could be moved. Hell, in the next 24 hours, he may go. That's coming up, brought to you by Robert Half.
I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio.
I want to thank you guys, Shafty, and I listen to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
That is an all-time drop. All-time drop. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it. Because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Big changes are coming to the Giants, so make sure you're subscribed to the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast. Luttman, Shasky will have everything you need to know about the end of the Farhan Zaidi era and the rise of Buster Posey. Subscribe today so that you do not miss out on the best damn Giants talk in the Bay Area. It is fascinating as we move forward here with Buster Posey as your new president of baseball operations. He will search for a GM. That's basically priority number one. Get him a GM. Get him some baseball guys around here. Get him some scouts. But it is amazing. After 6 years and all this chatter about Farhan Zaidi and the think pieces and the leaks and the bizarre ending in the month of September with the 2024 San Francisco Giants, that they moved on so quickly. I mean, it is an absolute masterclass to hold that presser. It was short, got out of it. We don't have to come back around, and we're gone just like that. Not even a statement for Farhan Zaidi. Was there a statement for Farhan? No statements?
I didn't see one.
Yeah, no statements at all.
I'm out.
I mean, just wow. I can't believe how quickly they pivoted off of Farhan. Just like he doesn't even exist.
This had been in the works for months.
There's no doubt it has.
I know Buster was like, yeah, you know, this was more recent. Days, weeks, months. It's like, dog, I love you, Buster. I call cap on that. Yeah, like, I'm going to pull the 13-year-old in the backseat. I call cap on that. And here's why. You moved here because you smelled blood in the water, and Greg Johnson's been begging you to come do something. It was basically, what's the contract? What's the job? What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And let's just call it what it is. I know you can't be that honest, but I wish they would be. It is interesting, though. He kept hammering home. It's about the players. It's about the players. And I found that to be in stark contrast to what the prior regime told me at the front end of their run, which was, players are plug and play and replaceable. It's all about the thought process and how smart we are in the front office and how we're going to put people in a position to succeed because we think the game on a cerebral level and it doesn't matter. We're going to have interchangeable avatars on the field. It's just such a difference. It's so different. I don't think you heard the word like players, players, players at all like you did at the beginning of that run. It's so different.
It's a good point. It's a good point with that one. Pardon you. Bless you. It's such a good point. And he made it about the players because that's what it's about. The players bring the fans to the ballpark. The players bring the television ratings. The players make us excited. It's about the players, players, players. They're going to make a manager look really, really good. They're going to make a GM look really, really good. It is about the players. So how did it get the players better? Buster Posey's such a no-nonsense type of guy that he will figure out who's the... Because this is a baseball lifer, for crying out loud. I mean, this guy, I don't underrate the fact that he played at Florida State for a legendary manager. High-level baseball at Florida State, who were a college baseball powerhouse for many, many years.
He played all nine positions in one game.
Yeah, I know. That's how we all found out. We were all watching SportsCenter one night. You remember the night? We were all watching SportsCenter one night in the late 2000s. Who the hell is this? Buster Posey played all nine positions? Okay. And then the Giants selected number five. We're like, yay. We don't even know how good he's going to be, but he played all nine positions.
Uh-huh.
So he's played high-level baseball. So he knows the making. I mean, this guy's a great player himself. Now, I've written columns saying that he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I get that he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. I want Thurman Munson in there. I want Jorge Posada in there. I think those guys were great. Yadier Molina is going to get in there. They should all get in there. Whatever. Baseball's got a... It's so damn strict on their Baseball Hall of Fame, and I get it. You don't want the Hall of Very Good, but, you know, these guys are great. These guys are great players. But Buster Posey knows what goes into being a great player. He's a no-nonsense type of guy, so he's going to weed those guys out. So if you think you're going to clown around and lollygag down the first baseline or show up your catcher or show up your manager, you're going to be out of here, buddy. That's not flying with Buster Posey.
Yeah, it just feels like now, and he said it, like, I want people to be accountable for their own baseball career. Yep. How refreshing was that?
Wow.
I mean, it's such a difference from we're going to continue to get in your way and we're going to platoon you to death and we're never going to let you bat against the lefty if you struggle against lefties, even in the slight. Yep. We're never going to let our right-handed power pitcher face a lefty in certain matchups because we want them to avoid those. It was head on. Like, you are in control of your own baseball career. And I found that to be very refreshing. And it feels like baseball as a whole, I think that the writers are obsessed with one word, and it's
analytics.
It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, no, I knew where you're going with that one. I was just going to say, I was going to really quote where he goes, analytics are here and they're here to stay, and it would be a mistake to say that you're not going to use all that information. But analytics have been around forever. We got to stop with this analytics.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's like it's some buzzword. It drives me insane. It's just like system quarterback. It's like system quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, look, Aaron Rodgers could be cuckoo at times, right? But he was on a Pat McAfee show yesterday, said, we're all system quarterbacks. What are you talking about? What are people talking about? You know, I've been yelling about that for years. Game managers. Well, that's what a quarterback's job is supposed to be. And when it comes to analytics, of course you're going to use data. If a guy in his last seven games is batting 0-33 and he's 1-37, well, guess what? Okay, we can pinch in this guy. He can't hit the fastball inside. That's the analytic data point.
Exactly.
We're trying to make these things so damn complicated.
That's my point.
Oh, my gosh.
It's driving me insane. And again, the next time we have Kawakami on, I'm going to ask him, what do you mean? What analytics are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? When a guy faces a lefty on the road, on turf, day games, you know, night games?
That's an interview that I'm just going to say, hey, Tim Kawakami here on the River Island guest line. And I'm just going to turn off my mic.
No, and I like Tim. He's a very good journalist. But he throws that word around in baseball.
The question is?
And I don't think he understands what it means. Do you mean WRC plus? Because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. How about BABIP? His batting average or balls in play? Like if you're going to say the buzzword analytics, my retort back to you is, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, which ones are you referring to? Slugging, OPS, batting average, you know, me against lefties, like what third time through the lineup? What are you describing? Like, and it's driving me crazy.
Well, analytics is used in every sport.
Every sport.
Every sport. You're gonna use trends. Like we talk football, right? Okay, we know this team on third down struggles. Okay, we know this team doesn't like to run to the left side of the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
We know this team doesn't like to run up the middle. We know this team doesn't want to do they've always been at the high school levels, the JUCO levels, the college levels. Analytics are everywhere, but we all use data, but we use it like this buzzword, like, oh, we're bucking the trend.
Exactly.
We're in the next gen. We're going to be looking like, no, stop.
You know what analytics can't do? Make you lay off the 3-2 slider in the dirt.
Right.
You know what analytics can't do? Teach you how to get a ground ball.
Yep.
Like, you could be in perfect position and still boot it. How many times was Luciano right where he needed to be based off of, you know, the little sheet on his arm telling him where to stand, and he booted it right off his heel?
Yep.
Right. You still have to execute. So you bringing up like all the old school players. Shane Battier had a great one. He was like, I knew if Kobe had to take more than one dribble to his left, his shooting percentage went down like whatever, 2%. Mm-hmm. And he was like, so all I was trying to to do was make him take two dribbles to the left. Right. Not one, just two. Because if he did one, he got into his rhythm. Like, those are the little things. It's just, it's very funny. I get a good kick out of it. But here's the thing that he said, I thought, about analytics. And this was the part I thought was finally, we get something. He goes, the key to the analytics is some guys need all of it. Some guys need none of it, and some guys need just enough. Our job as a staff is to know when and how to use them for each player. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the most important thing. Pete Rose, I know everyone has feelings on him, but he has a quote that I use to this day, and it goes, some guys need to be kicked in the pants.
Yep.
Some guys I need to put my arm around. Mm-hmm. Some guys I don't say a damn thing to. Mm-hmm. That's coaching. Mm-hmm. And you have to know what kind of person that person is on the other side that you're trying to connect to. And so when Posey said, of course we're going to use analytics, but I'm not going to give it to somebody who's in, like Pablo Sandoval. Pablo's going to swing at what he swings at, and I want him to be a natural athlete.
Right.
I don't want him knowing all the analytics. I kind of think him being free and not being in his own dome is what makes him beautiful.
He doesn't need to think about that.
Exactly.
Maybe that destroyed him at Boston. Another quote from Posey. A lot of my basic principles are pretty simple. I want us to be known as a team that's the ultimate prepared team. One that's fundamentals are held at a really high standard. Ultimately, this is all about the players. But basic principles, to your point about managing guys differently, it's so true in all levels. Youth, high school, I've seen in my whole life, some guys, the stars who are kind of knuckleheads, hey, you're going to coach them a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys like me, I need to kick them in the ass. Hey, stop being so lazy, Bonte. Run through the line of scrimmage. What the hell are you doing? I can handle that, but some guys can't. So to that point there about the analytics, you don't want to bombard some of these players with all this super data. I want you to go up there, wait for your pitch, see pitch, hit pitch, and let's go and get on base and do what you do.
You think Vladdy Guerrero, I'm just using him as an example. You think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. would have benefited from all those things in his head, or just being Vladdy Guerrero Jr.?
How about just being Vladdy Guerrero Sr.?
He goes from senior or junior.
Hall of Famer. But junior too.
Yeah.
Goes both ways.
You
don't need all that stuff,
But that being said, like Joe Panik used to talk about, like he wanted some of that data.
Yep.
You know, he wanted to know what the trends were so that he could kind of adjust his game accordingly. So I think it's all about balance. And, you know, Posey having that feel is good. I just want to see who he hires from here on out.
Yeah, no doubt. 925 Comcast Business Text Line. I love this before we go to break. Analytics are like a bikini. It shows a lot, but it's not everything.
Interesting.
That's for the franchise.
It's an interesting one.
I kind of like it. I kind of smell what you're doing, cooking up there, 925. And you know I'm going to read stuff like
do
that.
You crack, crack, smell?
It's just what I'm going to do. What's coming up with Kate brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More on the Buster Posey introductory press conference as they wash away for hot society so damn fast. We'll get the love news questions with Greg Johnson. We'll play some sound on that. We'll get the Warriors media day. Niners back on the practice field today. Devontae Adams wants out of Las Vegas ASAP. Should the Niners call him about Brandon Ayuk could make a swap? I'm with that. I'm down for that. That's all coming up here on the Morning Roast.
Hey, y'all, it's Zeusky, man. You listen to the 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. Oh, baby.
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. We got action in the Bay Area. I was talking to the boss, man. He goes, you know, I was talking to Shasky, and this is like a point where each Bay Area team is kind of resetting expectations. And what should the expectations be? Well, the Niners' expectations is simple. We got to be in New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, can I stop you there? It was, and it will always be, but the reality is, right now, in the middle of the season, given where they're at, it's make the playoffs and we'll go from there.
No, no doubt, but if they make the playoffs, we're going to expect them to make a run.
Well, but yeah, you know, that's also football.
Know, yeah, that's football. But I'm just saying, with these stars and everything happening with the 49ers, the expectation is, got to get back to the Super Bowl. This baby is wide open.
I do believe that it is wide open.
It's wide open.
And if the Niners can get, you know, healthy, even if CMC doesn't come back, I still think they can get
NFC. Yeah, I think they have enough.
I do too.
I think they have enough.
I also won't be as devastated. No, I say that today.
Yeah.
Let's wait till. But I wouldn't be as devastated because stuff's happened this year. It's all over the place.
The Warriors, Expect the unexpected, I guess.
You know
I,
what I'm expecting?
What?
A fun season.
Fun.
And if they make the playoffs, I'll be really happy.
It's always fun, Gary.
I'm really excited for Kuminga.
Excited. We'll get to Draymond's back and forth because I love Scott Osler from the San Francisco Chronicle. I thought there was a better way he could have got about his business with Draymond. I actually don't fault Draymond for that back and forth at all. I know he's an easy target to get on in those situations, but I thought it was obvious that Scott was looking for a little something extra, and it's media day, and it's like, all right, it's a new season. I get where Scott was trying to go, but it just didn't deliver in the way they were supposed to deliver. Anyway, we'll get to that, and I'll explain a little bit later. But the vibe around the Warriors is it's a fresh start. There's no Klay Thompson. Chris Paul's down in San Antonio next to Victor Wembanyama. But the vibe was good, man. I met D'Anthony Melton. He seems like a really good dude. Andrew Wiggins was a little under weather at media day. I know people want to make jokes about that, but I ran into Wiggins, and I just said, hey, man, condolences. Honestly, I dapped him up. He said, how you doing? I go, hey, man, condolences. And he gave me a little half hug and said, man, and he tapped his heart and said, I really appreciate that, man. And it could just kind of tell he just seemed in a better spot.
He lost his dad, dude.
You know, exactly. And
there's
everybody grieves differently.
There's not a day goes by where I don't mention, bring him up, think about him. Believe me, I get it.
Yeah, so everybody grieves differently. And, you know, now that he knows that his dad is in a better place, not battling health issues, then maybe he can have a clear head and play better. And I think he will play better for the Golden State Warriors this season because it feels like Steve Kerr's empowering him again, saying, I want Wiggins to shoot 6 or 7 threes. I want him to shoot threes. Moody, I want him to shoot threes. Ready to beat Pods. Pods is like, hey, I want to come on. Literally goes, when can I come to the studio with you guys? Mike Potts, man, you don't want to come to the studio with us 6-10.
Yeah, you can.
It's a long time.
Why are you doing this? No, yes, you can. Brandon Pachevsky, if you're out there, come into the studio. Let's do this, dude.
Well, he's in Hawaii right now, but Potts is a good dude.
Hey, send the audio to him. Let him know that he's invited.
What was that, Lovey?
You can send this audio to him. Let him know that he's invited.
So he knows he's invited. I told Raymond Ritter, I said, Potts wants to come to the studio because we can make that happen.
We might not have to run it through Raymond. Maybe we just go direct.
Unofficial third co-host.
Let's cut out the middleman.
How do you like Raymond. That, Mr. Bonte?
But Bonte, you're omitting someone that I'm just curious. Did you run into Draymond?
I did not run into Draymond Green because everybody's curious about that.
Shut you talking
looking
to me.
For Draymond. He
were
was,
you?
He was done early.
So you were looking
early.
For him?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, I was looking for him.
Uh-huh.
I was looking for him.
Is Draymond in here? Because I want to leave this room if he's in here.
I'm not pulling Oshaski, man. No, I was looking for him.
Is this story time? We have an open for this because I want you to explain more about we have a new thing that I'm going to do now. Let's just play it right now.
Okay.
Hear ye, quiet down, quiet down. The king has something to say. Your majesty, could you please tell us a king's tale from your travels across the realm?
Oh, the king's tale? What is the king's tale?
Oh, that's
good. Fucking South Korea!
So tell us more about Media Day,
that's
Bonte.
That's pretty good.
Tell us, King.
That's pretty
Come
good.
Come on, I knew you'd please like that.
Please don't call me King. It makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Tell us what else happened on Media Day.
So Media Day, I run into Dennis Scott, 3D.
No way.
Orlando Magic. He was doing some work for NBA TV.
Uh-huh.
Me, him, and Steven Erickson. You know Steve, who sets up everybody's LinkedIn. He was setting up Dennis Scott's LinkedIn.
Great guy.
Love Steven. He was there. We were all chilling it in. Dennis Scott was waiting for Steph Curry, so they did a one-on-one. And then, kind of like how we experienced it a couple years ago at Media Day, Steph leaves the table. There's all these people. Danny Emmerman from the Bay Area News Group was shouting, hey, Bonte. And then Steph looks over at me and goes, Bonte, how you doing? And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to lie. I was just like, man, this is all these people over here. He seeks me out to say what's up, right? It's Steph, man, right? He's so cool. And you know what he goes? He goes, hey, man, your boy Wet-Wet. I met your boy Wet-Wet. And I thought Steph was trolling. Honest to God, I said, wait, what are you talking? Like, you got to stop. I literally go, you got to stop listening to our show, man. It's not good for you. It's not good for you to listen to
the
show.
Did you tell Steph that he could also come into studio anytime he wants?
I did not say that to him. I was too middle.
I was too confused.
I was too confused. This is about me.
The king
not you.
Didn't tell him that the court jester said hi?
This is about me. She said, story time with the king. Court jester, please sit back and chill. Listen. He goes, Wet-Wet. And I go, wait a minute, Wet-Wet? What are you talking about? Because I ran into your boy Wet-Wet. He said, what's up? And I'm like, what? And so I call Wet-Wet. I go, hey, man, you didn't happen to run into Steph Curry. He goes, yeah, I did last week. And I told him, hey, man, make sure you give Bonte Hill some grief. The fact that Steph remembered to relay that message is what makes Steph Steph. How do you remember the nickname Wet-Wet? And then you're like, hey, man, I ran into your boy Wet-Wet. So I was talking to a security guard, Yusuf, for a while, and we were chopping it up. What else did I do? Looney. Looney. Come Kevon Looney.
This is a king's tale.
This is a king's tale. Kevon Looney. I told you guys he looks phenomenal, right?
No. Tell us more, my leash.
But you see okay. Him, he looks phenomenal. You see him doing yoga in Hawaii? He looks great. So I go, Looney, you're really going to shoot the ball more, huh? He goes, you and Bully always tell me to shoot it more. I said, man, Looney, you're my guy. Kobe. You're my guy.
Spadoni's in his bag.
You're my guy, Looney. So he will shoot it a little bit more. What else did
What else happened, McKing?
Oh, I'll tell you what else happened. Kareth Brecht saw my girl KP, great KP, gave her a fat hug, and was like, hey, man, you did your thing at the Olympics. She's ready to roll. Her son's growing and growing and growing and growing, like 12, 13 months, starting to walk. Learned how to walk overseas. Go figure. In Ireland. Now he's back in the States, and he's doing his thing, and he's saying, mama. Larry June Pilo and DJ D Sharp.
Oh.
Ready to those guys.
You tell them I said hi?
I did not tell them to say hi, but they did ask me my opinions on the 49ers.
Uh-huh.
And then Larry June, he's walking over. I'm like, who is that? He points at me, goes, my man, what's up?
Uh-huh.
And he apologizes for his appearance on the postgame show from 2 seasons ago. I'm like, why are you apologizing? He goes, I was just too lit, man. I was just too lit. I said, well, that's what actually made it great. And you gave us the greatest rejoin in the show's history, and you did it on one take. He goes, oh, yeah, my boys text me all the time. Yeah, that was y'all, man. And I go, yeah, you made a sound effect during that show. Love it.
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast.
We want him in studio, and I need to be in one of his videos.
No, this is not about you. This is about me. All right? This is not about you.
This is a king's tale.
This is a king's tale.
That's right. You're right.
This is a king's tale. We're not talking about the peasants right here. No, I'm kidding. That's too strong.
I am enjoying this.
No.
The music is so good.
It was a terrible joke. But Lovin even knows. He did a sound effect during the hit. He goes, you know, I don't watch much basketball, but when I played, I was like Michael Jordan. And boop, 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 boop. And I was like, he was like, yeah, man, I was just too lit, man. I was like, hey, man, made for great television. And that was that. And that was Media Day. So it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun at Media Day.
Lubman, do you have any voices you want to get in here?
No, I thought that was a very rousing tale from you there, Ponte.
We got through it.
I liked it a lot. I'm glad I got to hear about your Media Day travels and all the friends that you got to shake hands with.
Oh, the king held court.
The king did hold court.
And then I ran into R.C. Davis and Jimbo, James Kincaid.
Uh-huh.
They had all the liners ready to go. And they were going to have Draymond and Steph do liners for the Morning Roast, but they didn't make it to their section at Media Day.
Draymond said, liners for the Morning Roast. Right into the dumpster.
Oh, look at the time. I have to go. Wow, that works out.
The Q rating for James Kincaid just plummeting the last few months in Florida.
Anytime Bonte has a story to tell, we're going to do a king's tale.
Yeah, I have a lot of stories.
What'd you think of that? You like that?
Oh, I do like them. It's just tough for me to get through stories on the show. You guys all play on mouths and cut me off.
That's the beauty of
one of these days we got to get Shasky in on these stories, too, so then Shasky doesn't have to try and be like, well, did you ask him about me?
I know, man. It's like,
so we got to get some collabs here on
the show. I got to just start asking people, hey, man, you know, Shasky this and Shasky that. I got to start implementing that into my game plan. Well, no, you know what? You know what? Oh, I will say this. No.
Here we go.
You are known. Trust me. They know who you are. You said Steph Curry security guard. I probably shouldn't admit this, but we're talking. I was like, yeah, man, Warner. What's it goes? Oh, yeah, man. You and Shasky. He goes, you know, Shasky's like a roller coaster. He's like a roller coaster. And it reminds me of when I was in Boston, when we got there for game 3. And my boy Ryan, who was working with the G League affiliate at the time, he goes, hey, man, is Shasky always like that? He's like, he's all over the place sometimes, man. When we lose, he's in panic mode, man. Is he like that for real? I'm worried about his health.
That's how I am.
I was like, yeah, that's just who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Who he is.
By golly.
So you know what's cold? And this is why.
The real winners have a hard time dealing with losing.
You're right about
me
that.
Me and Buster Posey.
But you know what? You know what's funny? Now that I think about it, that's why it bugs me sometimes. I'm like, you and Guru get away with everything. Because all those dudes be like, that's just Shasky. He's up and down.
Exactly.
We know what it is. And I'm like, well, how come you guys hold me to everything? Well, you know, Bonte, well, you say things. And I'm like,
you know what they say? Heavy is the crown.
That's what they say.
I just like how that conversation started with Yusuf Gobes. Like, oh, yeah, man, the Morning Roast, man. Like, I like how that's how the conversation started.
Well, I don't know
started.
How the conversation started. It just kind of developed into that. It's like, yeah, Morning Radio, you know, I'm working off no sleep right now, man.
Getting back to your original point, though, it does feel like to me, I'm very excited for the Warriors season this year. And my favorite part of all of this, and this is not a shot at Klay Thompson, so please just understand. But I think him not being on the team has kind of like reset or recalibrated everyone's feelings. Like the championship days, like, hey, maybe we get blessed and something magical happens. And
presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.